Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday. This is July 28th. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are in the Big Book on page 54, chapter We Agnostics, the second paragraph down, Imagine Life Without Faith. And we're reading through that one paragraph only, and it ends with at least, so the chemist said. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Kate F., the 12 traditions, Lisa W., the readers of the text are Kathy M., Luann C., and Chanel T. I forgot to put your last initial here. The share ID for Monday, July 27th. 7 a.m. Eastern is 23,668. That is 23668. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, July 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern time is 23,672, 23672. Our newcomer greeter is Hannah Yetta, and our announcements person is Robin P. Thank you all for your service this month. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kate F. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Mo and everyone. Here are our 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Oh, thank you very much. That's Kate F. from Washington State. I will now ask Lisa W. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning to everyone on the line. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Mo.
Thank you, Lisa W. from Colorado. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute to your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 54 of We Agnostics, second paragraph down, imagine life without faith through one paragraph ending with at least so the chemist said. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Kathy M. to read the paragraph and comment on it. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. One day at a time, as always. Imagine life without faith. Where nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life. But we believed in life. Of course we did. We could not prove life in the sense that you can prove a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Yet there it was. Could we still say the whole thing was nothing but a mass of electrons created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling onto a destiny of nothingness? Of course we couldn't. The electrons themselves seemed more intelligent than that, at least so the chemist said. So this whole chapter was written, I feel like it directly personally relates to me, but this is kind of an amazing concept. Life without faith. I never thought I had faith. I gave up my faith in my teens, and I didn't believe in the religious teachings that I was brought up with, and I therefore thought that I had no religion. And I was one of those people that if you mentioned it to me, I'd argue with you about how can you prove it and all that. I got over that. I came to terms with my agnosticism. And now as I'm reading this chapter or this paragraph, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, the electrons are not moving aimlessly. There's some organization to them. The chemist, meaning science, has not yet been able to understand the creation of the universe, but it's trying to. And there are many, many theories and lots of evidence for how things were created. But again, we still don't know the core of what is the creator. The beauty of OA and the idea of a higher power is that I don't need to understand it. All I need to do is believe that there's a force behind all that we know. And that force, if I allow it in, can work on me too. If I don't allow it in, though, I'm going along at my own on my own willpower. But if I allow it in, it can take some of the responsibility. I don't have to be in charge of everything. I can let go of things. The universe, or whatever that force is, which is now my higher power, is going to manage it. Until I came into OA, I was never given permission to use those forces, the force of nature, Mother Earth, the universe, all the things I believe in, because I'm truly a science person. I taught science for many years and I worked in science and blah, blah, blah. It's not mutually exclusive. You don't have to have science or faith. You can have both. Until I came into OA, though, I felt like I was never given permission to use those forces that I knew existed as my spiritual guide, as my higher power. And OA gave me that. I learned that I had always believed in a higher power of sorts, in my own higher power. And OA gave me the ability to say, oh, I do have a higher power. That is my higher power. I've always had that higher power. I just never allowed it to bring me personally the power that it has available. And there's so much. And now with a newfound faith, in OA, I can move forward and allow my higher power to work on me as it does on all the other creatures on our planet and in our universe. And the faith can be, I don't have to be knowledgeable. I just need to believe that there is something bigger than me out there that is making things work right. And part of that working right, thank you. Part of that working right is helping me see what I need to eat, what I don't need to eat, and how I should be letting go of the management of every detail of my life through that force. And with that, I'll pass. I hope that made sense to somebody. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That's Kathy M. from Michigan. And let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 54, We Agnostics, the second paragraph, Imagine Life Without Faith, through one paragraph ending, At Least So the Chemist Said. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Hiya P.
Hiya P. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ronnie
who
B.
Was who was that again?
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Nick F. Okay, gotcha. And then Ronnie P.
Ronnie B. Yes.
Okay, gotcha, Ronnie.
Hillary B.
Oh, gotcha, Hillary.
Thank you.
So I have Hannah P, Nick F, Ronnie, I think it's B, and Hillary F. Who else in this group? All right, everyone mute except Hannah P. Good morning, Hannah. That's where you're calling from.
I know. Thanks. Hi. It's actually Chaya, C-H-A-Y-A, Chaya P. They're hard to distinguish between the two. Chaya P, very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic. I live in the state of New Jersey. I am listed, I think, as Colorado on the membership. Thank you so much for taking the meeting. And I just want to, first, before I share anything on the reading, just really welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous. You've landed in a really strong Overeaters Anonymous meeting that we call A Vision for You, named after the chapter in the AA big book that we use. And if maybe you're coming back after a bit of being away, or maybe you've been in the rooms and struggling, and just I want to welcome you and just let you know that there really truly is recovery, and there is a way that works. And that way, although I was not interested in looking for a relationship with God, a higher power, or any creative force of the universe, when I got here, I found out pretty quickly through the process of working the steps that I was pretty doomed. I was doomed if I did not have some kind of access to, you know, access to a power greater than myself. I just was doomed because it's a spiritual illness. That's really what it is at the end of the day. It looks like it's an illness about body and weight and food and all that, but it's really a spiritual malady, and that's been my experience. And so while I ran out of my first meeting because we talked about God, I ultimately found that that was going to be my answer, and I was able to come and find my own conception. This is not a religious program. I'm so grateful for that, although I am very connected to my religion today, but that is not where I was when I came, and that doesn't mean you have to land there. And I just love, you know, when this book was written so many years ago, I mean, we know so much more about the world now. We know so much more about the protons and the neutrons and the electrons. And it's just so fascinating because the one missing link, and there are a lot of scientists. I've met scientists, brilliant, brilliant scientists who say, who are very, very, very connected to God, because they say that's the missing link. You know, that's the puzzle piece that if you can't grasp that, if you grasp that, everything's answered. But without that, everything's a mystery and puzzling. And so that's been the case also for my experience and recovery in my life, that without that, life is so puzzling and just, it's just so hard to understand and bear. But with that piece in place, that there is a power greater than myself that runs, that created, that sustains on a daily basis this world and my life, you know, that this power is interested in me and you, that has given me really not just freedom from compulsive eating and sticking my finger down my throat and obsessing over my body, but it's given me a life where I can be, thank you, where I can be really, really connected to myself, to God, and those around me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That's Hannah P. from New Jersey. Up next is Nick F., followed by Ronnie, I think it's B., I'm not sure. Good morning. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. My name is Nick F. in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Mo, for the young lady that took the reading. And yes, welcome to the newcomers. Welcome to Vision for You. The part that kind of sticks out to me the most is this first sentence, imagine life without faith. And I don't have to use my imagination too much because I lived a life without faith. And as I come to Vision for You, you know, I'm learning that it's not just about abstinence. It's the spiritual principles and the way I get to live my life today. However, you know, living a life without faith did lead me to where I was a 5X and I couldn't fit in regular places and I needed two chairs and, you know, I needed the extender on the airplane and it was really hard. I couldn't reach places when taking a bath. And so, you know, the kind of the beginning of my faith is that it takes faith to call this line. It takes faith to listen, to be an adult and to need to listen to another adult to teach me as an adult how to have a better life, you know. And today, you know, one thing I know about faith is that when I ask for direction will come. In our For Today book, it says when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And God has given me, you know, a beautiful teacher in this way of life. And I had some crisis situations going on, getting suspended from a job and my son needing to be readmitted to a hospital. And would it not be for faith, I would be in despair. And I'm asking God, you know, God, what ways can I have fun, enjoy my life? Because in the past, the way I enjoyed my life and had fun involved eating massive amounts of food that killed me, you know, until it was no longer fun. And so now, you know, fun for me maybe just looks like being able to get on this line, hearing a different accents, hearing different shares, hearing a different perspective, and having something awakened in me that'll give me a way of life that doesn't harm myself. You know, being an addict, my mind, my thinking tends to go into a way that will kill me ultimately. But I get to get on here and I get to hear people say they recovered. And I'm working the steps again. I'm on my 10th step. And, you know, just having to be patient and waiting for that direction to come. And so, like the previous show said, I hope that makes sense to somebody. It made sense to me. And so I'm just so grateful to get to be here. And thank you all for your continued service. And thank you for letting me participate in my own recovery. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Nick F. in Tennessee. Up next is Ronnie B., followed by Hillary B., and after Hillary, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning. Thank you. Ronnie B. in Missouri, recovering a day at a time. So when I first heard the reading, the word that stood out to me, or the phrase, is my creator. Now, I don't remember when exactly that hit my soul years ago. I don't. But when it did, I'm like, oh my gosh, I never looked at, I have a personal creator because it's my creator. You know, I had spirituality. I believed in God and after a while. But I never thought that I had my own creator. Really silly, and I don't know why it didn't click, but it didn't. But today it does, and that's what's the most important thing. So I don't always lean on my creator, right? Because like it has at the 10-step worksheet, where is my trust and reliance? Was it on my finite self or God, infinite self, right? And whenever I do a 10-step, it's because I was relying on myself, and that does not work for me. I need to do my part, skin in the game, right? And I probably mentioned this or not, so bear with me, please. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter and I had a vacation to St. Lucia. So far, no problem. I get that. But on the night of the fourth day, I had an accidental freak accident and fell backwards down wooden steps. Detail doesn't matter. And I'll tell you, when I finally hit the bottom, because I didn't know what had happened backwards, I had no idea. And all I know is, like, my body was mangled. Legs were twisted a few times. You know, I mean, I knew my back and tailbone, pretty severe. I knew that. But the thing is this, I truly thought, oh, my God, like, I'm going to die now. And you know, it says in our literature, I don't remember the exact quote, but we trust as only the dying, or we ask for help as only the dying can, right? And that's how I felt. And I was scared. And my daughter was with me, and she was scared. And so all I know is this, I prayed, I truly prayed, because I was absolutely sure this was it. And when I got to the hospital, it took some doing. It was a foreign country. We were up on these cliffs. Anyway, got there, and through the grace of God, makes no sense. I mean, I'm built like a stick figure, 72 stick figure, right? And there was not a broken bone. There was not a fractured bone. There was severe damage, yes, to my back and cusp, but that's being treated. And a day at a time, I get a little bit better. A time. Anyway, if I didn't have my creator, I don't know what I would have done. And all of you people, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. That's Ronnie B. from Missouri. And before I take Hillary, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 54 of We Agnostics, the second paragraph down, Imagine Life Without Faith, through one paragraph and ending with At Least So the Chemist Said. And after Hillary, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for being of service. I'm Hillary B. in Southern California, gratefully recovered just for today. And imagine life without faith. I don't have to imagine life without faith. I lived a life without faith for a number of decades. And it was hard and it was miserable. And I was in charge because there was no higher power. And I was a mess. And my only solution was, life was fun if I ate. Life was fun when I went out with my binge buddies and we would laugh and we would joke and we would eat and eat what felt good, what seemed to feel good. And I kind of did believe I could prove life mathematically with the laws of physics, with a lot of stuff. That's what life was. But I was miserable. I was lonely. I was, I hated myself, and, you know, always constantly looking for others to make me feel good about myself. It's a life of enslavement. And I'm really grateful that I cannot prove life today, but I can live life today. I can have a life beyond my wildest dreams, but only when I do let go of control. It's ironic. It makes no sense to a logical mind, but my higher power is not logic. Not that it's illogical, but it's not, it's way more than logic. It's things that can't be described in a science book. It's things that I didn't learn when I by memorizing the times tables. And faith is not something that can be taught from a textbook. I have to live it, and it takes a risk for me anyway. It took a lot of risk to start living a life of faith. I didn't believe in it. I didn't believe there was a higher power, but I was desperate enough to be willing to believe. And over time, miraculously, when I would just turn things over to a force I didn't believe in, I would just turn things over that were too hard for me to handle. And over time, with recovery, I got recovery with practicing living life as if I had a faith. Well, what would happen if I pretend like I believe there's a higher power and I act as if I believe there's one? Let's see what happens. And that's what I've done for a lot of years, and it's brought me so much relief. Even though I don't have a lot of years of abstinence, I do have over 3 years of abstinence, and it took a lot of practicing faith to get to the point where I could actually let go of the food and let God be in charge. Thank you so much, and I pass.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. That's Hillary B. from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? We're on page 54 of We Agnostics, the second paragraph down, Imagine Life Without Faith, through one paragraph ending with At Least So the Chemist Said. And I will take some names.
Larry.
Got you, Larry. Larry G. California.
Caroline W.
Caroline W.
Hanayeta.
Hanayeta. So I have Larry G, Caroline W, and Hanayeta. Anyone else in this lineup? Hearing nobody, let's get started with Larry G. Good morning, Larry.
Thank you, Mo. My name is Larry G, and I'm from California. Grateful member of this fellowship. Just a shout out to the new people. And FYI, we're not asked to have any kind of faith at this point. You know, Bill's making it easy for us. He's just introducing the idea of faith. And the first three steps is all about coming to believe there's a power greater than ourselves or myself. So don't sweat it if you don't have faith at this point. All we need is a crack in the door to possibly believe. I remember reading, following this guy. His name was Stephen Hawkins. He was an English astrophysicist, probably up next to Einstein, one of the greatest minds ever in the last 100 years. And I remember him saying that technology will never unlock the mysteries of the universe. We'll never unlock it. Yet there are men and women who have come before us that have developed great faith and performed miracles. Saints, sages, prophets, mystics, Messiah. All these men and women had great faith, and they were also persecuted by religious organizations, but those organizations were run by men, you know, flesh and blood that contaminated those religions. So there you go. You don't have to be religious to have faith. And if it's good enough for the great saints and sages and prophets of all religion, it's good enough for me. You know, it's exhilarating to run your life on self-will until it no longer works. I loved barbecues and buffets and parties until it no longer worked. And then it seemed to me like I created great suffering in my life. Now, a mystery to me is why can I not eat hot fudge sundaes with abandon? Yes, it says in the big book, I like the effect, and the only relief is entire abstinence. But I don't know why I put my faith in that. I remember a woman in my group here in Sacramento, you know, 35 years clean and sober, black and white abstinent, told me that I should put boxes, bags, and cartons on that altar in my home because that's what I worshiped. And I worshiped that for many, many years until it no longer worked, until I was driven to my knees and I came through this fellowship 6-plus years ago. I finally surrendered. And I no longer am obsessed. But I have to, each day, I cannot get through the day without a belief in God, a faith in God. It's too confusing. This world is too screwed up. It's too scary. I can't manage my life anymore without a faith in a power greater than myself. And maybe this is why I am a compulsive eater, was to develop this faith. And if I didn't have this affliction, maybe I would have never developed that faith. And for that, I'm grateful, and I turn it back over to you, Mo.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Larry G. from California. Up next is Caroline W., followed by Hanayeta R. Good morning.
Hi.
Caroline.
Hi, my name's Caroline W. I'm from Massachusetts. Thank you for everyone who did service on this meeting. This meeting has been a lifesaver for me. This is my first time sharing on a vision, but imagine a life without faith. I can remember when I was 19 years old and this whole concept was introduced to me, a life without faith. And I worked at a restaurant and there was a waiter there and he was older and he was in college and seemed very smart and he seemed very pulled together. And he said to me that he didn't believe that there was a God or anything out there, and that he thought that when you died, you just went into the earth and blah, blah, blah. Well, I had never heard anything like that. I grew up going to church, but I never had a relationship with my higher power, and I never saw that modeled for me, and I didn't really understand people that seem to have this robust faith. I always wanted that, but I just didn't know how to get it. So I adopted his view because it seemed to make more sense to me at the time. And for years, I was a slave to my disease in so many different areas of my life. And it wasn't until I came to these meetings and I took suggestions and people told me, you know, to spend time with my higher power in the morning. And I heard people who were recovered talk about how they were getting this freedom in their life. And I wanted that. I didn't understand how any of that had anything to do with the higher power, but I was just willing to take suggestions. And, you know, I'm not going to say that overnight I was, you know, I understood or that I was healed. It's a journey. And every day I try to connect with my higher power and I try to take the suggestions and just stay right in the middle of the herd. And so I appreciate just being able to call into this meeting today and get my medicine. This disease is spiritual, physical, and it's mental. And I just appreciate all of you. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Caroline W. from Massachusetts. And I want to remind everybody where we are before I take Hannah Yetta. We're on page 54 of We Agnostics. The second paragraph down, imagine life without faith through one paragraph ending, at least so the chemist said. Master Hannah Yetta, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Hannah Yetta.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Hannah Yetta, Chana Yetta, Hannah Yetta, R, and I'm from Texas, Plano, Texas, just outside Dallas. I also want to thank the newcomers for being here because you're so important to me. Newcomers, people coming back, you're all to me. I just look me up and call me. I will try to do my best to answer you back. Anyway, so the first line, a life without faith. Well, I've always had faith. I loved my faith until I was like 16, and then I got really mad at God, and I turned my back on God, and I did everything I could to just go against everything that my religion taught me and everything that I thought would hurt God. Because he hurt me, I wanted to hurt him back. So when I came into program like 5 decades ago, long time ago, my faith was pretty bad. I still believed. I knew that God was always there. I knew he always protected me, even that I turned my back on him. But I didn't think that he would ever want to help me. I felt like such a piece of garbage that I was just a little lower than the lowest bugs on the earth, you know, that was me, below the ground, under the bugs. And I just didn't think that I was worthy, like a couple other people I think have said too, that I wasn't worthy of his love and his understanding and his gifts. And yet, guess what? He gave them to me anyway. And I started to get another understanding and another belief and another love for God. And today, my love for God is like more than anything in the world. He is everything to me. Because without him, first of all, I don't have my absolute. When I don't have my abstinence, then I can't love myself or anyone else. And I'm learning that I'm trying really hard to love other people around me, especially my husband, because sometimes I'm not very nice and I don't say things very nicely. But I'm catching myself today and I'm apologizing right away and just saying, you know, I should have said that nicer. And, you know, to me, that's huge. And that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to see my mistakes and to look at them with an honest mind and an honest thought. Thank you so much. And everybody, my life is a miracle, and everybody has a miracle. Don't quit 5 minutes before yours. Just keep coming back. Thanks, Mo.
Yeah, thank you. That's Hanayeta R. from Texas. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 54, second paragraph down.
Ted from New Jersey.
Was that Ted?
Yes.
Jeff A.
Ted from New Jersey. Jeff A.
Mm-hmm. California.
Treasure A from California.
Who was that from California?
Hedja A.
Hedja A. How do you spell that?
R E G I A, pronounced like an H.
Okay. Hedja A from California. Gotcha. I have Ted. I didn't get your last initial, Ted, but you can give it to me. I have Jeff A. and Hedja A. Anyone else in this lineup? I think that's probably all I can take. All right. Ted, you share for us. Give me your last initial and where you're calling from.
Yes, thanks for moderating. And my last name starts with a G, Ted G, from New Jersey.
Okay, thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome. I was just thinking about this topic, faith. You know, I did have a father growing up that took me to church at an early age. It was part of the culture. And I believe in God in my whole life, but, you know, I didn't have any faith because I did have some hard times in the home growing up was really rough and stuff like that. So that's why I had no faith because I was getting harmed and I was like, God, what's going on here? So, you know, in recovery and getting abstinent, I'm starting to realize that, you know, I lost my train of thought, but yeah, my faith developed slowly because God knows that it was impossible to have faith and trust him when I was getting hurt like that at a young age. And so it's gradually, he's increased my faith and, you know, faith that he'll protect me wherever I go. Faith that, you know, he's with me, he'll help me and guide me. But I still like sometimes struggle with it, but I ask God to be patient with me, you know, what I went through and all that. So, yeah, every day I do feel like I have more faith now than I ever have done before. And it's just the steps, you know. The steps are a spiritual way of life, you know, higher power of your own conception. But the steps are really, really keeps myself together, you know. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you very much. And that is Ted G. from New Jersey. Up next is Jeff A., followed by, I think you said Hedja A. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi.
Correct.
Jeff A. Yeah, so my experience has been... I realized when I'm in charge, even though I do a lot of things well, when I'm in charge, things don't work out so well. And so I made a decision that I would, and I wasn't doing OA, that I would try and do whatever he suggested, right? And then he told me to go to OA. 6 years ago, and I was so pissed. because I've had just horrible health challenges. And the one thing that gave me joy was eating. You know, and I'm supposed to stop my alcoholic foods. I mean, it was just brutal. That first year, I couldn't get sober, but like one day, less than a day. I went to the meetings because 12-step works for me, but I was constantly pissed off with him because of all the challenges. And then I'm doing this, and I can't do the foods I want. And so it's been kind of a brutal journey for me. But, you know, it's turned out to be I now have food neutrality, which is a shock. One day at a time, really one meal at a time. And I'm irritable and discontent throughout the day as well. Isn't that interesting? But I have a lot of joy too. And it's a mix, you know, it's I'm a messy human being. And I guess that's where, for me, this is where it is for me. I wish I had more peace all the time, but I'm doing the things he's asked me to do, and he told me to go to OA. And I'm doing service and trying to write things down and all the rest. And a lot of it's annoying to me. So what? You know, it's yeah. So anyway, so that's my share. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. That's Jeff A. from California. And our last share for today will be Hedja A. from California. Good morning, Hedja.
Hi, I'm Hedja A. from California, and I'm so thankful for all the shares and for hearing so many good things. Yeah, faith for me, it hits me like faith and believing it, you know, for me it's a two different things. Maybe belief is the little crack on the door, and the faith, it's a much bigger work for me. I'm dealing right now with my dad. He is dying literally in my house, and has been extremely hard. Excuse me. But I, without my faith, knowing that, learning that's his path, and he's going so slow. It's just little by little, you know, it is accepting God's choice for him, and if he's my dad is fighting with life, he wants to be here even though he's not eating for 25 days already. It's just the same time is amazing, but it's exercising my faith. And I got to be close to God. There's not any other way that I can go through this without him. And I had learned through this process. I was like on top of my dad, tried to save, and I was being drained. And when I realized, and I was just, I separated from him and accepted that choice. It was freedom, and that it came with my faith on him, on God. So I cannot do this without him, and I'm not in the food. So I am deeply sad, hurt, but I'm going through it. How? Like, I don't know. God is the only explanation I have. So I'm very thankful for the program, and very thankful for people around me. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you that very much. That's Hedja A. from California. And thank you all for your shares this morning, helping us work through this paragraph. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will now ask Lou Ann C. to to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thanks for all the great shares today. I'm Luann C. Today, by the grace of God, I'm recovered in Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.